Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Welcome someone to Word of Life Church. Let them know how glad you are to see them here worshiping. And you can be seated. Now, anyone who knows me well will tell you I am a sports fan. I like all types of sports activities. Soccer. Anybody watching the World Cup? We got any World Cup? Okay. Yeah. World Cup. I'll get into that. Football. I like the Saints. They're my professional team. I believe all of God's people are called to be Saints. You can make a decision for the Lord today. Root for His team. All my sports allegiance, they run deep. Friends, they run deep. And no stronger allegiance do I have than to the Boston Red Sox. It's a long story of how I became a Red Sox fan, but nevertheless, I am. I'm all out. We go see them play every year, me and my wife. I mean, we're hardcore, just hardcore fans. On my Suburban, I have a plate around my license plate that just, you know, is showing my allegiance to the Boston Red Sox. I named my son Boston. I mean, this is how hardcore we are, ladies and gentlemen. This morning I was in prayer and I'm meditating on God. I'm feeling good. I'm in the spirit. Not only am I getting just real good revelation from God, but also the Red Sox beat the Yankees. Spanked them last night. I mean, whipped them. Whipped the Yankees last night. I'm already feeling good. And I wake up early, of course, and I'm getting ready to come to church. And I go out to my car to set my code and my book and my Bible and all those types of things in the back of my car, and I open up my Suburban, I place it in, and then I close it, and standing in front of me is this atrocity. Look at this. Someone had replaced my Boston Red Sox license plate with a Yankees one. Like, I don't even know what to do about this. Like, I literally almost lost my breakfast. Like, to have the Stankies on my car, like, I didn't even know what to do. And so immediately I took a photo and I'm texting it to all the Yankee people I know. Like, all the people who, I'm like, was it you? I know it was you. Just confess. And everyone was like shifting the blame, saying, it wasn't me, but we celebrate whoever did. And like, all of these kinds of things. So, you know, I get to church and I'll be honest and say I was trying to think about the message, but all I'm thinking about is who could have done such thing. And so I knew it probably happened last night. So I thought, it probably happened during service. And we are blessed to have the owners of Pennington and Trim go to this church. And they have armed us. They have armed us, ladies and gentlemen, with cameras and strong security measures. And so I happened to just text over our executive pastor and say, could you have, perchance, images from last night during the service in the parking lot? And come to find out, they showed me this. This is a video. Here we have someone walking out to the car, walking out into the parking lot, going to my white Suburban, looking around, seeing if anyone is paying attention. They've got a backpack on, ladies and gentlemen. They come up. Immediately, I'm wondering, who is that individual? As I begin to examine this more closely, I came to see it is none other than the man we have entrusted our children with today here at Word of Life, our children's pastor, Tyler Thompson. Ladies and gentlemen, I was overcome with emotion. I felt like David after Absalom betrayed him. Sure, if it was an enemy, I could have taken it, but a son of the house, a son of this house here at Word of Life, it just cut me deep. It cut me deep. So here's what I'm asking. We believe here in sowing at Word of Life, and we believe that do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. Now here's one of the rules of sowing and reaping. You always reap more than you sow. And friend, I'm calling upon the members of Word of Life to prank Tyler Thompson as much as you can. Young people, we need your creativity in this endeavor. Old people, we need your wisdom in this endeavor. I am calling upon you all to prank him until that thing is taken. I'm not even going to touch it. I won't even touch it until that thing is off my car and the one that was kidnapped with the Boston Red Sox is put back on. I'm calling upon you, Word of Life. Do not let it go. Let your vengeance run deep and strong. over in the life of Tyler Thompson until that is fixed and my life is more sound again. I really am heartbroken. Like, I'm wondering what I did. Was it me? Did I do something? We'll find out later on. Anyway, today I'm going to teach you how to pray. We're going to talk about praying for enemies, whole nine yards. And next week, we're going to talk about how to deal with difficult people. So with this, we've got all kinds of material being birthed out of this. But anyway, I believe in prayer. Like, I honestly am a believer in prayer. And I believe you guys are too. One of my favorite verses on prayer is the book of John, John chapter 14, and verse number 13. This is Jesus talking. This is the Lord, the Savior, our hero, Jesus talking. And he says, "And whatsoever you will ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Notice he says, if you want me to do it, you have to ask for it. If you're not asking for it, he says, I'm not working on it. If you want me to work on it, you have to ask for it. If you're not asking for it, I'm not working on it. He said, look, the Father, he wants to be glorified in your life. The Father, he wants to demonstrate his power in your life. The Father, he wants to restore your life. The Father, he wants you to be in awe of him. I honestly believe this, that the reason why God wants to work so many miracles in our lives is not just because we need so many miracles. It's because he knows that miracles lead to devotion. After Peter saw the great multitude of fish, after he saw all of these fish just laid out before him, he fell down on his knees and gave glory unto Jesus. And I think this is why we need a display of the power of God. I think this is why we need to see it in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our churches. This is why I am passionately believing to see healings and just Elijah-type moments where we just come before the world and say, let the God who answers by fire be God. And just moments where we see these types of things. Because God wants to be glorified. It's not just about the miracle. It's about the devotion. When you see the miracles, it drives devotion because you see how much he loves you. And the only way for God to be glorified and the only way for Jesus to do some things is we have to ask. I like Mark Batterson. He's my favorite teacher on prayer right now. And I go back and forth, but for him, his books just speak to me. And he has this quote. It's one of my favorites. And he says, prayer is simply the difference. It's the best between what you can do and what God can do. And everyone in this room, you're talented. My goodness, are you talented? You could do some amazing things. But you'll never see God do amazing things until you learn how to pray. Prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. Now, I think we know this, and I think all of us know we should pray. And I think many of you in this room probably know, you know what, Pastor Joel, if I'm being honest, I could pray more. Like, if I'm being honest, I should pray more. I think many people are wondering, just as the disciples did, is how do I pray? The disciples, they looked at Jesus and they saw these miracles and they immediately saw that his prayer life was the base from which all of these miracles were flowing. So they come to him in Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to invite you, if you brought your Bibles, let's go over there and look at them together, and we'll notice some things here, but they'll also have it on the screens. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. The disciples come to Jesus and they ask him the following question. They say, Master, will you teach us to pray? Notice this. It says in verse 1, it came to pass that as Jesus was praying, and this is interesting to me for those of you who are underliners or highlighters. I like this. It says, in a certain place, as Jesus was praying, in a certain place, when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, many of you are familiar with that passage of Scripture. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And many of you could probably quote it, and that's awesome. And many of you probably pray it, and that's great. But I want you to pay attention to what the disciples were asking for. They did not ask for a prayer. They asked for a teaching. They said, Jesus, can you teach us to pray. The Lord's Prayer is not just a nice prayer that you could pray, that, you know, people have prayed for many, many years. It is a teaching or an outline, if you will, on how to pray. Now, for me, I have used this outline for many, many years, and it has served me well. I'm very blessed to see what it's done in my life. And today, I just simply want to break it down to you, because I think there's a lot of teaching in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, that if you understand it, could give you more than enough things to pray for and show you how to pray as well. Here's the first thing I see. Number one, decide on a place and a time to pray. Decide on a place and a time to pray. Most of us sacrifice the important on the altar of the urgent. All of you in this room are busy, busy people. I keep thinking, I don't know if this is just me, it could be just me, but I keep thinking life is bound to slow down. Like there's bound to be like some time where it just kind of slows down and I have a deep breath and can kind of, you know, just see life just kind of be slower. You know what I found? It doesn't, it speeds up. And many of us, for the things that are really important in life, like a family, exercise, budgeting, kids, date nights, and then especially spiritual things like prayer, reading scripture, meditation, we say this phrase a lot. I need to find time. You know what I need to do? I need to find more time. I need to find some time to budget. I need to find some time to exercise. I need to find some time to pray. I need to find some time to read scripture. And you know what happens? We say that all the time and we don't find time. Stop finding time and start making time. If it's important, make time for it. If it's important, schedule time for it. If it's important, put it in like an appointment and say, during this hour, during this time, during this season, here is what I'm doing. Jesus had specific places he liked to pray. And he also had, from my perspective, specific times he liked to pray. In fact, most of the times when you see Jesus praying, it's at night. Jesus liked to pray at night. Jesus had specific gardens and things he liked to pray in. I want to encourage you, find a time and a place to pray. Maybe there's a specific chair that you pray in. I have a mentor of mine, he likes to go to McDonald's. Seriously, he goes to McDonald's. He gets an Egg McMuffin and some coffee, and he sits down in the same booth, and that's where he prays. That's where he does his devotional. Maybe for you, it's your car. Maybe for Daniel, it was, hey, I'm going to pray three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I'm going to do it at my house, and I've got this little room. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your prayer closet, a place to pray. I want to encourage you, if you don't get anything else out of this message, if you could just do this for me, if you could at the end of the service today or sometime today when you're sitting on the sofa doing whatever it is that you do there, just kind of plan some time this week to pray. Maybe it's like, okay, at 9 o'clock at night, from 9 to 9:30, 9 to 9:15, whatever it may be, plan some time to pray. I think that this is critically important. Number two, I think the second thing that Jesus teaches us about prayer is this. Begin with worship. Hallowed. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed just simply means the highest praise. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you thanksgiving. Now, all of us, I think we like for people to brag on us. Have you ever had someone brag on you, like openly? Have you ever had someone like praise you openly? Thursday night, we had something here at the church called The Collective, and we offer it almost every Thursday, but it's just a time of kind of fellowship and worship, and then we do training for different departments. A lot of fun. We'd love to have you come out one night. But anyway, we had a one this past Thursday, and there's a good number of people here, and I often will lead a class for communicators, for anyone who would like to get better at their communication. We teach on all kinds of things, pace, delivery, voice inflection, smile while you talk, a whole bunch of different things. But anyway, we teach on those things, and then we give the opportunity for people to practice those things with 3-minute speeches. So anyway, we're doing this, and I took them over in the new facility because I'm the pastor and I can. And so I took them over there, and we were having a great time. And then after the class was over, we walked out in the sanctuary, and they're the new sanctuary, and they were showing some of the lights and some of the sound. And friend, if you like anything that we have going on in here, I promise you that is 10 times as good. I mean, it is amazing, the sound quality, amazing, the light quality. Like, I cannot wait. And we're like 6 weeks away, guys. I mean, it's like, it'll be here before we know it. So I can't wait for that moment. August 19th, can't wait to see you here. Anyway, we're in there, and some of the guys who run, like, the lights and sound are there. And they're sitting there, and they're in a group, and I walk into the group and start talking to these guys. And one of them, man, he just starts bragging on the church. And he starts, you know, kind of bragging on me. And, you know, I have one of those moments where it's like, you know, stop. You know, you know, but on the inside, I'm like, keep going. I like this. Like, don't stop. You know, I need it right now in this season. And with that, I walked away from the conversation just on cloud nine. And I think all of us have those moments where a good word of encouragement or something like that just adds life to us. And no doubt it pleases God when we bless him. But I believe praise and worship, and beginning with praise and worship, it's really not for God, it's for us. See, the Bible teaches us in Psalms chapter 100, in verse number 4, that we are to enter into God's gates with thanksgiving. This is talking about what he has done. And we are to come into his courts with praise. We are to be thankful unto him and bless his name. Every prayer we pray should start with thanksgiving, reminding ourselves what God has done. Then we move from there over into praise, where we begin to boast on God. God is big enough. He is strong enough. There is nothing our God cannot do. He is our healer, our protector, our soon coming king. Now, why would he ask us to do this? It's not because he needs it. It's because we do. See, if we approach God and begin asking for things, we often will come in light of our fears about what we're facing, our sadness about our situation, our angst about what was said or done, our hesitations based off of our past performance and how we aren't good enough to be praying in the first place. And God is saying, I don't want you to come and begin asking based off of you, your goodness, or your problems. I want you to put yourself in remembrance about all the times I have blessed you, about all the times I have healed you, about all the times I have been good to you. I want you to make your boast at how big I am, how good I am, how right I am. I don't want you to be thinking about your failures. I want you to be thinking about my mercy. I don't want you thinking about your problems. I want you thinking about my power. Why? I want you to pray off the platform of faith. So he says, before you ask for anything, make sure you build a solid platform where you come before God and just say, Father, I know who you are. I know your love for me, and I believe you are going to move in my life. The second thing that he tells us, or the third thing if you're going through this, is ask God to have his way. Father, I want your will to be done. Just like your will is done in heaven, Father, I want your will to be done on the earth. Now, this is interesting to me, because there are a lot of Christians who believe that God is just going to do his will. If God wants it done, he's just going to do it. And if God doesn't want to do it, he's just not going to do it. If God wants to do something, he's just going to do it, like it's going to go according to the will of God. That's interesting to me. Because here it tells us that yes, the answer to that question is yes. Does God do his will? Yes, he does. In heaven. In heaven, God does his will all of the time. If he doesn't like something, he kicks it out. Just ask Satan. And if he does like it, he keeps it. There's no one sick in heaven. There's no one depressed. There's no one walking around bitter or upset. There's no racism or division or injustice or any of those types of things in heaven. Why? Because God always does his will there. In heaven, God's will is always carried out. In heaven, God is always performing his will, but not in earth. In earth, God's will is not being done. Look at where our world is. Look at divisions and strifes and murders and racisms and injustice. Look at families being fractured and addictions and bondages and all the sick people. Just go over to Blairy Batson. You just walk in and all these different places, and that's not God's will. That's not God doing those things. These things aren't quote-unquote acts of God, and God's just doing his will. If it was, who would want to serve a God like that? No, friend, I'm telling you, here we see plainly from Scripture, God does his will in heaven, and he needs us to ask in order for him to do his will in earth. Well, why would he need us to ask? That's an interesting question. The Bible teaches us why. Notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. This is how your Bible starts. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. He gave the earth to us. If I came to you and I took off my watch this morning, I took off my watch and I gave it over to you, if I wanted to do something again to it, how would I have to do it? I'd have to do it with your permission. I gave it to you. If I came to you and I said, here's this jacket, you can have this jacket, and I gave you the jacket, if I wanted to do something with the jacket again, I would have to ask your permission first. Why? I gave you the jacket. God gave mankind the earth. Now, this is not just taught like one time in Scripture. It's taught in Scripture from the beginning to the end. Notice this in the book of Psalms. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Jesus made statements like this all the time. I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth, hey, we'll bind it in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth, hey, we'll loose it in heaven. Heaven will back you up here on earth, but not without your permission. Why? I'm giving you the keys. If I came and said, here's the keys to my car. You can take it wherever you want. If I want to use my car again, I need you to hand me the keys. Now here's what we're doing in prayer. We're saying, God, I want your will to be done in my life just like your will is done in heaven. You could pray all day with this portion of the prayer. You could pray this all the time for your kid. Father, I want this. I believe this as a parent. This is just me, my personal perspective. I believe the greatest responsibility for me as a parent is not to send my kids to a good school. That's the responsibility, not my highest. It's not to take them on a family vacation. That'd be good, but it's not my highest responsibility. My greatest responsibility for my children is to pray for my children. Because if God's going to do his will in the lives of my children, he needs my permission first. If God's going to do his will in my church, I've got to ask him to. If God's going to do his will in our nation, we have to ask him to. Your highest responsibility as a citizen is to pray for this nation. If God is going to do his will, it's because you're asking him to do his will. My greatest responsibility as a husband is to pray for my wife. It's to pray for her. Yes, I need to love her. But even more, I need to pray for her. Why? It helps you love her. You get a heart for what you pray for. You get a heart for what you pray for. And if you're growing distant in marriage, just start praying for your spouse. You'll get a heart for who you pray for. This is why God asks you to pray for your enemies. Why? You can't pray for your enemies and not get a heart for them. Friend, I'm telling you, you got to pray for people. You got to pray for things. The only way for God to do his will is for you to say, Father, I'm asking you to do your will just like you do it in heaven. The next thing he says is, look, I understand you've got some basic needs. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for specific needs and desires. Specific needs and desires. Give us our daily bread. I like specific needs and desires. Most people don't get what they want because they don't know what they want. Most people, the reason why they don't get what they want, they don't know what they want. Friend, I'm telling you, you need dreams. Now, I believe this, and I have scripture, but anyway, I believe this very big in my heart, that when your heart is working right, you're a dreamer. When your heart is working right, your future's more important to you than your past. When your heart is working right, you live in the future and you visit the present. When your heart is working right, you're seeing what could be and you're pressing for it. You're forgetting those things that are behind you and you're pressing for those things that are in front of you. The sign of a broken heart is you're not dreaming. The sign of a broken heart is you're not reaching. Well, somebody says, well, I've just gotten older, Pastor Joel, and most of my life is behind me, not in front of me. Did you know the Bible asks you to die in faith? It means to your very last breath, there should be something you're believing for, something you're going after. And this prayer of give us our daily bread is we're coming to God and we're saying, Father, here's my need, here's my desire, I'm asking for your provision. Now, scripture that's been big in my heart is really the whole book of Joshua. So it's not just a scripture. It's a lot of scriptures. But particularly the first six chapters. And in it, you see the story of Jericho. And God shows him this city and says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that city. It's yours. It's yours. I want you to take that city. And you know what most people would have done after they get this? Like, this is what we're going after. They would have built like battering rams because it's a walled city. It has gates. So let's build some battering rams. Let's get some nice shields and spears. And let's go over there and let's go after this goal. And this is what most people do in the natural all the time. They have a goal, they have a desire, and it's like, okay, we're going to man up, we're going to woman up, and we're going to make it happen. And God is like, I kind of got a different idea. Here's what I want you to do. Don't build that battering ram. Don't pull out your sword or your spear. Here's what I want you to do. It's simple, it's easy. Here's what I want you to do. He said, every day, I want you to circle the city one time. That's it. Every day, I just want you to circle the city once. Every day, just one time around the city. Somebody said, anything else? Nope. Every day, one time, circle the city. Consistency. Every day, one time, and circle the city. On the seventh day, circle it seven times. And at the end, just simply lift up your voice and shout, and God's going to give you the city. He'll give it to you. You know the story. The walls came a-tumbling down. Now here's what I believe in prayer. I believe, and I love how Mark Batterson explains this, that we are to circle things in prayer. Now, this is how it works for me, is I have a journal. This is actually what I wrote this message in. It's my journal for this year. And I can't wait to give my kids my journals and these types of things so they can see my walk with God in an intimate way. But anyway, at the start of my journal, like at the very, very top of it, in the front page, are my goals that I want to see God move on this year with scriptures that support of why they belong to me. Of what God has spoken to me about these goals. Now, when I say circle the goals, I'm not talking about like drawing like a physical circle. What I am talking about is every day looking at them and saying, here, God, right here. This is what I want. This is what I need. Remember the principle? Remember the principle. Blind man comes to Jesus. I mean, he's blind. Everyone can see. He's blind. Blind man comes to Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus makes him say what he wants. What do you want me to do for you? Everyone knows it's clear what he wants. And I love what the man said, I want to see. Most people would have said, I want a seeing eye dog. That's what I want. One of those canes would be great, Jesus. See, most people ask for things that they could do with a little bit more discipline. He asked for the impossible. Sight. Sight. God shows up when you put a demand on him. Most of the things we want, just would put a little bit more demand on us, we could make it happen. And God said, I want to perform miracles. This guy asked for sight. I want you every day to write down some stuff you want to see God do. Basically, a lot of prayer is just dreaming out loud. And I want you to write down what you want to see God do. And I want you not, you don't have to circle it seven times every day. There could be some days where you do that, but just every day, consistency is key. Every day, circle it. Oh man, I want to build this out a little bit more. I'm running out of time. Jesus here in Luke chapter 11, he goes on teaching on this. Remember, the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. He said, okay, I'll tell you a story because Jesus knew people remembered stories better than they remember anything else. He said, there was this guy who had a friend come in at midnight. Now, this is incredibly inconsiderate, let's be honest, for this guy to come in at midnight, but nevertheless, he did. And this guy gets here and he realizes, I don't have any food for this guy. So he gets up from his house and he goes to his friend's house down the street and he's going to ask this guy for food. So he goes to this guy's house and he knocks on the door. When he knocks on the door, this guy is incredibly irritated because it's midnight. In fact, this is what I may do to Tyler to pay him back. Or what you could do for Tyler to pay. Just ring his doorbell in the middle of the night. Just keep ringing. But anyway, it's midnight and this guy's knocking on the door and the guy is getting frustrated in the house because he's like, what are you doing? My kids are asleep. My wife's asleep. I'm asleep. He says, I need some bread. I got a guest who's in. He's hungry. I know you have bread. I need bread. The guy says, no, I'm not giving you any bread. The guy keeps knocking. He keeps knocking. And Jesus said, not even because he's a friend of this man, but because of his importunity, his consistency to just keep knocking. He said, the guy will open up the door and give him the bread. He said, you want to know how to pray? There you go. Most of us today know how to pray for. We don't know how to pray through. And friend, I'm telling you, it's a big difference. Praying for, asks for it one time and forgets about it, goes out and tries to do it in its own strength after that. Praying through is consistent. Begins with prayer and then turns over into praise. And every day, just one time, Sir, I thank you, Father, you're making provision there. I thank you, Father, you're making a way there. God, you're so great, you're so big, you are moving right there. Give us this day our daily bread. We get towards the end of the prayer, and once again, this is how Jesus says, kind of end praying. This is a good way to end it. I love how he says, do it. My next point, number five, make some wise corrections. Forgive me as I forgive others. Forgive me as I forgive others. Forgive me of my trespasses as I have forgiven others of theirs. One of my favorite scriptures is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. It talks about how when we stand before the glory of God, it's like standing in front of a mirror. I love this. Any of you stand in front of a mirror this morning? Some of you more than others. I get it. But with this, you know, did anyone stand in front of a mirror? Have you ever had a time where you like just glance in the mirror? Maybe you're running late. And you just like glance and it's like you're out the door. And then you come back later to a mirror later and it's like, what in the world was I thinking? Like that was out of place or this was out of place or something like that. Or, you know, my buttons were unbuttoned all wrong or something. Or buttoned all wrong. Anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. He said, God is going to be like a mirror for you. When you stand in front of God, you behold his glory. It's like standing in front of glass. It's like standing in front of a mirror. And you can begin to see what needs to be altered, what needs to be fixed, and what needs to be changed. Now, friend, I'm telling you, this is the part of prayer that is the safest thing you could do in your life. This is the safest thing I do. This is, without a doubt, the safest thing I do is this right here. Every day coming before God, is there anything in me that needs to be changed? Every day before, is there anything in me that needs to be fixed? Every day before, are there any attitudes in me that need to be course corrected? Every day, Father, is there something in me that's gotten off track? Is there something in me that's out of your way? Is there a way I'm treating my wife? Is there a way I'm talking to my kids? Is there anything in me, Father, that you see that I'm not seeing that I need to see and make a wise correction in? Can you imagine if Samson would have done this every day, how different his life would have looked? You imagine if Saul, after all that jealousy with David and the women singing about David more than they sang about him, if the next morning after feeling that jealousy, he woke up and said, God, is there anything in me? He used to be all, what if David, before he acted on the lust, would have come to God and said, God, is there anything in me today? This is safe. This is safe. I want to encourage you every day, as often as you can, take a moment at the end of your prayer and just say, Father, here I am. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Is there anything in me I need to change, make a correction in? And finally, Jesus says this. The last thing we're to do, next screen, is to give me grace, God, to live for you. Take me away from evil and lead me not into temptation. This is the way he says to end our prayers. I think this is beautiful, beautiful. I read a book on heaven not too long ago. And in this book, it talked about how heaven is like a glorified version of earth. I thought this was interesting. A lot of people think, well, in heaven, you know, here's what you're going to do. It's going to be like a giant service all the time. And, you know, we're going to come and we're going to worship and we may hear Jesus preach or something along that line, but it's just a giant service. And they said, you know, there's an element of that that's true. They said, heaven is a glorified version of earth. You're going to take walks in heaven. You're going to have fellowship, meals in heaven. You're going to walk by a lake in heaven. You're going to do it with loved ones and friends and family members and heroes. Paul said, to be with Christ is far better. None of us in here should be afraid of death. Not a one of us. It's far better on the other side. It's everything you like here, but far better. It's a glorified version of it. Families united without any division. Friends laughing together. Friends who went to heaven before you, reconnected with them for eternity. It's beautiful. It's to be desired, to be longed for. And with this, one of the things that they said is in heaven, you know, you have all this, but even in heaven, you have assignments. Assignments. Because they said, even in heaven, still, the greatest way to worship God is with obedience. The greatest way to worship God is obedience. Now, here's what I know in this room. There have been times you've been so proud of you, and then there are other times where you have been so disappointed in you. And what you're saying with this prayer as you close is you're saying, Father, here's what I know. Man looks on the outward appearance, but you look at the heart. And I know I look at my outward appearance and I see things that I could have done better and should have said better and all this stuff out here I could have done better. But here's what I want you to know. My heart wants to. My heart, Father, I want to do right. My heart, Father, I want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to be the father I can be, the husband I can be, the whoever God you've called me to be. I want to be that. So, Father, I'm asking you, take me away from temptation. Deliver me from evil. You know my heart. My heart is what you look at. And in my heart, I want to please you. Jesus said, that's how you pray. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you today. We love you, Lord, so, so much. And I thank you for these amazing people coming out in the middle of a holiday weekend with the 4th of July on Wednesday. Father, I thank you for these people who made this decision. And I ask you, Father, that you would stir all of us up to pray. We love you, Lord Jesus. Let this begin a new season for you, a season of prayer, a season of ministering unto the Lord. Let this be a new start. Your past, it's washed away. I don't care if you only pray for lunch. It's all washed away. Let this begin a new season, a new day. Begin a life of prayer. Begin to take your family around prayer. I just feel it big in my heart. If you'll do this and you'll start a new spiritual season, God will help you start a new physical season. You start a new spiritual season, God will start a new physical season. Because as you pray, He works. As you pray, He works. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Joel, if I'm being honest, just getting right to the point, I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. I need grace. I need Jesus right now. No excuses, no explanation needed. I just know I need Jesus. I'm coming back to Him. I'm making a decision to live for Jesus. With heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, no one's looking around. It's so safe. If that's you, would you just lift your hand all over this place? Hands going up. Amazing. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is you. Why lift the hand? It's surrender. Just saying, Jesus, I hear your voice. I'm not hardening my heart, and I decide to live for you. Anybody else? Amazing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. You can just repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for Jesus. I believe He died on the cross for me. I believe He rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. My old life, it's washed away. My new life, it begins right now. And Father, I ask you, just as you have forgiven me, let me forgive myself. I am not my mistakes. I am not my failures. I am a child of the Most High God. And today, Father, I boldly declare my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.